Special thanks to John Clark. May your smuggling ring never become a smuggling semicircle.
Rusty Quill presents Stella Firma.
So, Hartrey's working for Standards, and Standards wants me, but also Trexel, to do well, because we're supposed to be in
a
sales,
new dawn! A new dawn has come to pass.
Trexel, we need
the
to
mistakes
talk.
Of old are now cast.
Trexel,
aside
we need to...
to reveal a brand new future shining bright in the sky. Trexel
needs to listen
Trexel
to me.
Trexel
really needs to listen to me.
Has arrived.
Yes.
Cheering.
No cheering.
Cheering.
Look, Trexel, we need to talk.
Fireworks.
We need to No, Trexel, we need to properly talk. Please get off your chair. Just talk
what
to me.
What is there to talk about, David? We are back on track. I was so worried that my career was over, David, with the lead weight that is David Seven dragging me down,
down
the departments, down the hierarchy into the doldrums of expediting. But no. No, the executive track is ours once again, David. It will be within our grasp.
It is possible that the executive track might be clouding his judgment.
No, but I think the executive track might have a big blade at the end that's going to chop us up as we sit on this track going, oh, off we go to the executive land.
The world of business is sharp. You have to expect knives, David. Knives are merely a way to sharpen your own wits. Sharpen a knife on a knife. Try it, David. It works.
Business knives detected. Security alerted.
But I think Standards might have nefarious schemes.
Who doesn't have a nefarious scheme? I've got three nefarious schemes running already, and you don't look at me and not trust me.
Oh, really? What are they?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know, David? Well,
yes.
I'll tell you. Scheme one. The canteen's always running out of that premium slurry. Oh, you try and get there early, you get there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and oh, no, sorry, we're all out of the premium slurry. It's all been sluiced over to the executive lounge. But
wait, hang on.
What I have... What? No, David, let me finish. I have threatened the employees to keep back a side sluice just for Trexel. Premium slurry for me. That's a nefarious scheme involved blackmail.
In comparison to your other crimes, it could almost be considered... Various.
Can I just offer... Okay, so when have you ever been in that canteen at 10 o'clock in the morning?
Well, no, I meant, David, if one had turned up at 10 o'clock in the morning, it would have already been gone. And if it's already gone at 10, why bother turning up until 4 with a nefarious scheme that means it's been kept back?
But
think about it.
Have you ever been
smart,
at 10?
Not hard, David.
Have you ever been there at 10 to test whether they're out of premium slurry?
David, I've never been anywhere at 10.
Well, so how do you know they're out of premium slurry?
Because it's 10. Nothing's good at 10. Think
right.
about it.
No, I have thought about it. I am often up at 10, not out, because I can't, but I'm up at 10, and 10 is a perfectly fine hour.
Well, maybe it's a fine hour for clones, David, but for Trexel, for a finely tuned sales machine, consultancy machine.
Yes,
now,
who's
expeditory
no longer consultant.
Machine.
And has sold zero things, remember? So when you say this lead weight of David Seven, what you mean is Trexel Geisman has been unable to sell any planets to anyone because he's not actually very good at sales.
I have moved beyond your negativity, David. I have moved beyond this well of sadness that seems to always cloud this whole space over here. I'm waving my arms just towards this whole space
right,
over
yeah,
towards
great.
Your side of the room.
Yeah, just let's go ignore this whole
positive.
Well of sadness.
Yeah, let's be positive, David. We're back on track. The drinks I had with Hartra when she wheeled me out and she took me to a small bar, not the Cosmic Lounge, but also importantly, not the Astral Bar.
Okay.
The asteroid move. And we had a quiet drink in the Astro booth. Her sitting in a plush leather couch, me in an increasingly small cage with a half-sized glass. It wasn't ideal, David. But think about it. This is progress. We can be back in with a chance of being top executives.
No, but standards are going to do something. They're going to use us for a thing, and we don't know what it is, so we shouldn't
Cutting through the noise, David. I'm cutting through the noise. We need to get on with our job. Come on, stop wasting time. Let's get on with the job. Let's sort out a problem. Let's get back in the good books, and let's sort our careers out, okay?
Fine. Let's do well enough that we're not going to be killed, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe we should take a little bit of time to try and work out what standards has in store for us before just running along the executive track to fall down a big pit full of spikes.
This seems complicated, David, so what I'm going to say is you do you, I'll do me, and we'll just see what kind of cheese falls out.
Do not eat the mystery cheese.
Okay, I don't know what cheese has to do with it, but I'm going to do me, so...
It's all about the cheese, David.
All right, well, we still have a job to do, so let's do this job. Okay.
Off you go.
Initiating.
So our next complainant is Gonk. Gonk's pronouns are him, his.
Oh, Gonk. Oh, Gonk.
You know Gonk.
Oh, Gonk. Sad Gonk. You met Gonk?
Obviously not.
Oh, Gonk. Oh, dear. Oh, well, tell me about the complaint, and I'll tell you a little about... Oh, Gonk.
Okay. Well, Gonk, as I guess you know, works in the cleaning department, right? And what Gonk does is he cleans up after everyone, all the time. Not that anyone notices or thanks me. You know what, Gonk? Yeah, I get you.
Class solidarity will not be tolerated. Employees must stand alone. Weak, vulnerable, and alone.
That sounds like Gonk. Old Gonk. Oh, nobody notices what I do. Oh, Gonk.
Right.
Such a bummer to be around, you know? Nobody wants
really,
to be with
really.
That. Nobody wants to be... Oh, I wasn't invited to anything. Oh, you don't look me in the eye when you walk past. There seems to be some acid burns on the floor, and you're holding a vat of acid, Drexel, so maybe you should be more careful. Oh, Gonk, just can it, Gonk!
Right. You know what? I'm Would you say Gonk is sort of a well of sadness?
I mean, I've not looked into how deep Gonk's sadness is, but I mean... There's a divot there, and that divot's full of water, you know?
Yeah.
Your
disdain starts to make more sense. Anyway, his complaint is that how am I meant to mop the floor in zero gravity, especially when I don't have a mop? So it looks like Gonk has a tough job to do that nobody cares about and nobody thanks him for, and he doesn't have any of the skills or equipment in order to do his job. So
it's hard to do what you're supposed to do when you have faulty equipment or unhelpful co-workers, and it sounds like Gonk's got faulty equipment and no co-workers.
Yes.
Oh, Gonk. What a sad life he must lead.
Well,
Gonking about the place.
Okay.
Gonking into a corner. Gonking down a hallway. Oh, who's that? Is it Gonk? I don't care. You know,
right,
tricky
stuff. Okay. And, so, Mr. Trexel, Executive Track Geisman, how would you try to expedite Gonk's problem?
Well, as a prospective executive, or prospective, as I like to say...
Portmanteau detected. Securelated.
I wouldn't deign to notice someone like Gonk. The people that far down on the chain, they're like... It's like how you don't notice certain gases hanging around. Oh, look, there's some nitrogen. I've breathed it in, I've breathed it out. It's inert. It's more of like a vehicle for better things like oxygen. Think of it like this. Gonk is nitrogen. I'm oxygen. Gonk's important, but who do people really care about? This gas. This gas over here. Old O2 himself. Trexel.
Right.
O2 Geisman.
Okay.
So I don't think we should really... You know, lower ourselves to the problems of someone like Gonk. If we're trying to get back on the executive track, and they're like, "You're troubling yourself with Gonk," oh, Gonk! You know, that's not going to give a good impression, is it?
Oh, right. So you think that maybe we should just tell Gonk that we're sorry we can't help you. We're just too important.
Now you say it back to me. That doesn't seem like the kind of thing that's going to look good in a report.
Oh, no, I think that's a great idea. I think we should definitely do that.
No, now you've said that back to me. I think maybe we should... David,
I think you've dismissed
Gonk too quickly. Should give Gonk another chance.
Well, why don't you give me another chance? I'm going to say it in a different way, and we'll see how it sounds. Okay, so...
Hit me with it.
Gonk, As a valued member of Stella Firma, I'm terribly sorry about your problem. However, I'm on the executive track. And as somebody on the executive track, I need to focus on being an executive. And in order to do that best, I just don't have the time to deal with your problem. Have you thought about talking to your line manager? Lots of love, Trexel Geisman. Brackets, executive track.
Yes, but that doesn't make me sparkle. That makes you, you look at that and you think, okay, you know, technically, they're not wrong, but I haven't demonstrated any skill there, have I? I want them to really see me sparkle. So what I'm going to say is we're going to arm gonk. You've got to get people's attention. If you've got a gun, you've got someone's attention.
Not all attention is good attention.
Ah, okay, right. So what you're saying is this sounds like a good idea, actually. Yeah. So instead of giving Gonk a co-worker or equipment, you instead give Gonk a gun.
Well, not necessarily a gun, because, you know, a ranged weapon, that's a little bit full on, but maybe a hammer. A really dangerous big hammer. And Gonk's running down the hallways going, "You never noticed me! Now it's Gonk's time to shine!" And people are like, that guy, I think we should give him a broom.
Uprising watch list updated. Gonk Geisman Liberation Front, under observation.
Right, okay, so it's more, give a man a broom, and he'll just be able to do his job. But give a man a hammer, and he'll be able to find all of the brooms that he wants.
That sounds like it. Can we get that on a pillow? Could you stitch that on a pillow? David, I'm going to find some crochet materials, and I need you to put that on a pillow so I can then hand it to an executive at a meeting and say, "Have you seen my pillow?"
Oh, well, I've actually got some crochet materials in here, actually. I've been practicing a little bit, look.
Arts and crafts detected. Security alerted.
Oh, okay. Show me some.
So I've got this.
Okay, that's a very lovingly crocheted bathin. Okay, anything else?
Okay, yeah. I've got this.
Okay, that's a less clothed and equally lovingly crocheted bathin. I hesitate to ask this, David.
No, is there a third one? Here we go.
Okay, that is full bathin. That's all the bathin I need to see. Let's just flip that pillow over, because no one needs that.
Even when knitted, he's got it in spades.
Well, I mean, I don't know, it's pretty all right.
Have you ever considered, you know, stitching like an inspiring quote from me on a pillow? What's happening, David? Something has to be wrong with you. David, are you ill? Are you quite well?
Ah, no. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Trexel. I was just overtaken by a mysterious fungus.
Okay. Well, what I was saying is I say amazing things. Put the things I say on a pillow. It's happening. David, do you need some sort of stomach calming fluid? Hang on, I've got this. Now drink this. Drink this.
What's a puddle?
The puddle water should soothe your palate.
Oh, yes. Oh, so soothed. Yes, I'll never have to do that again. Oh, that's cured me.
So if we arm Gonk and people respect people who are armed, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And in my experience, David, always worse. If you've armed yourself to get attention, do you get that attention? Yes. Does it make you a good person? No, it makes you that one that everyone's frightened of. I should know. I've waved a lot of weapons in the air in my time.
If there's a watch list, he's on it.
And you're on the executive track, so it's got to be a good idea for Gonk.
It's got to be a good idea. Hang on, David. This is an interesting philosophical point. Mm-hmm. If I'm now on the executive track, which I am, we can all agree, and everybody who's on the executive track is amazing, therefore everything I've ever done, regardless of the consequences at the time, must have been amazing. I've been quite circumspect in respect to myself at times, I think you'll agree, David. I'm my own worst critic. I'm always like, all right, I know you like Trexel, but he's got faults. He's got problems too. But now you've said that, maybe I am, unequivocally, without any reservation at all, the most brilliant and perfect person that's ever lived. And I know that because I've been externally confirmed as on the executive track.
It's logically sound, as long as you've been severely concussed.
Okay, so what you're saying is we're going to get a new Trexel, a more confident Trexel, a Trexel who is a little less self-reflective.
I am a literal god.
No. You're a literal...
David,
maybe
I have a stone tablet I'd like you to peruse. Now.
Okay, no.
It's got my 10 Trexmandments on it now. Number one, Trexel is always right, even when his advice seems particularly wrong.
No.
Commandment two, give Trexel your stuff. If Trexel wants it, Trexel gets it.
No.
Why am I reading this? I'm a god, I've got plenty of things to do. Come on, David, read out my Trexmandments.
Right, right. Okay, okay. Number three. Baffin's an idiot. I'm not reading that out.
I think you should read it out. Read it. No, sure, I'm God.
Not. Number
I'll
three.
Read it. Baffin right. is an idiot. Baffin has always been an idiot. Baffin will always be an idiot. In fact, six, seven, the rest of them are just variations on the phrase Baffin's an idiot. Baffin's a ding-dong. Baffin can shove it. Baffin who? That one's cutting because it's as if I don't know who Baffin is, you see?
So, Baffin, you know, is like my third nipple, vestigial.
Exactly. You know, I'm, you know, bit of fun there, trying to make it about me, trying to bring it round because, you know, I'm a vengeful god. I'm an angry god. I'm also a fun god. I'm a god that invites you round for table tennis.
Okay, well, so this fun god's recommendation to Gonk is that Gonk should get hold of a big hammer.
Now, could that backfire? I'm not saying that because I think it might, because as I say, I'm an infallible god. But let's just throw it out to David. Can you see any issues with that? I'm Gonk.
Me, okay, David Seven, your trustworthy and honest assistant who only has your best interests at heart.
I mean, you wouldn't betray a god.
No, no, of course not. And do you think that I could see what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to fire lightning out of my hands.
Okay.
Turns out I'm not that sort of god. Anyway, sorry, what were you saying?
Okay, but you're wondering if I, David Seven, am seeing any possible problems.
Ooh, is anything levitating?
No.
Ooh, okay, not that kind of god either. No. What kind of god am I? Sorry, David. Off you go.
Okay, and if there could be any possible... what is this? What are you trying to do now?
Have you got my thoughts in your head?
I think you're thinking about how great you are.
I'm that kind of god! I'm a telekinetic god! I move things with my powerful mind. It makes so much sense, David. My mind is my gift. My gift to the world!
Okay,
but
good.
Anyway, what's your thought about arming Gonk?
Right, so can I see any ways that arming Gonk, instead of giving them a mop, could backfire?
Yes.
No, I think it's absolutely perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Oh yes,
wonderful stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Wonderful stuff. Right. Anything else in this complaint suggestion thingy that we need to be aware of?
So they don't have a mop. And they can't mop the floor in zero gravity. Now I don't know if that's because they don't have a mop. Yes.
This is so important, David. I can't believe you didn't mention this before.
Okay.
Think about the physics question of this. You're holding a big hammer to get respect. You swing at an object, but if we're all in zero gravity, you just float backwards when you strike it. You get one hit in, and then all of a sudden you're floating backwards, waving your arms and legs in zero gravity, saying, I wanted a second strike! And then you're just tumbling. That's not impressive or threatening.
Okay.
This invalidates everything that we've been thinking about, David. Think about it. If you're waving a weapon in the air and then you strike something, you're just going to float backwards in zero gravity, waving your arms and legs all over the place, going, I want to hit you again, but I can't because I'm tumbling away. That's not threatening. That's not going to gain anybody respect. You've got to think about Cramshank's third law of movability.
Right, okay.
Each action makes other things happen, I suppose.
Okay, right.
He was a very casual physicist.
He has a point, but there is no record of Cramshank or any laws attributed to them.
Yes. Still makes sense. So the core of this problem is when you have a hammer and you want to hit something multiple times, you won't be able to.
If you throw the hammer, you'll just move backwards to the equal amount of mass that went forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards.
Right. This makes total sense. Yes, of course. So the main issue is, I hit somebody or something. I want to hit them again and I cannot.
Yes.
But what if I had a bigger hammer so that I never wanted to hit them a second time?
Ah, my secret is the first hammer blow is the last hammer blow.
Exactly.
And in that particular instance, you might not need to hit anyone at all. If everyone's like, wow, that hammer? That's a big dangerous hammer. I don't even want to get involved. I don't want to have to see if I can survive a first strike. You just, do what they say.
This is how the problem started back on Earth.
You give him a mop. Maybe even two mops. Maybe two mops and a bucket. You know?
Exactly.
A man can dream.
Exactly. So with this way, we give them a massive, massive hammer. Mm-hmm. And instead of giving them a mop, we give them the ability to threaten or dismember somebody so that they get a mop and some buckets as well.
And then it goes from, oh, Gonk, to, oh, Gonk, then to, Oh, Gonk! And you're sort of, you're with Gonk and you're patting him on the shoulder about a joke, and then because you patted him on the shoulder, you both float away, and then as you both float away from each other, you're like, bye, Gonk! You're my friend now, because I'm frightened of you, and what better way to make friends than to frighten people?
Well, there you go.
Friends threaten friends always, that's the saying.
Oh, wow, we must be the best of friends, then.
I've always thought so, David, and I'm glad you've come round to that fact.
Right, yes. Thank you, my lord, my god.
I never thought you'd actually call me that, David. I'm touched. You know, when we are sipping champagne on the top deck, height of our careers, captains of industry both, I'll remember mm-hmm. this. And as I continue to try and shoot lightning out of my hands across at another executive that I don't like, I'm going to look over at you and think, I could have never got here without David. Maybe I'll give you a chair.
Okay. Well, good. Lucky me, I'll get a chair. So I think, well, the walls are moving in, so we need to get this delivered. But we're happy with this. You think that's all good?
Yeah. You know what, David? Given that I'm a god, I think we should see if the walls can crush me. Because I'm pretty sure they can't, because I'm a god. So don't submit it. No, Let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah. No, great idea. Let's just do that.
Oh, no, look, there it goes.
David.
I slipped.
David, I wanted to see if I could destroy the walls with my deific form.
Yes. Okay. Right.
Beans.
Okay, well, no. Since you said you were going to keep trying to fire lightning at that executive across that table, I think you should probably get on with practicing that. So maybe pop on down to the astral bar and just try and
Not the astral bar, David. As we've established, David, I cannot find anything from before, but I do remember the way to the asteroid booth, so I'm going to scuttle into the one little chair in there and ask the barkeep for a tall glass of whatever the drink is they have that night. They only ever have one drink every night. It's a bit weird, but you know what? The variety is good for me. I'm a god now. I need new experiences to broaden my horizons. And they'd say, get back, Horizon! I command you! And then I make it, like, daytime in the night. I'm not sure what the limits of my power are, but I need to discover it in the in the booth. So
in the asteroid booth.
Just sit there and think about your new life that's upcoming.
Right.
And I'll be over here. And by over here, I mean not in this room, which is pretty much everywhere else. Because if this is in here, it's not important, David. The thing is, I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Oh, he's going to be even more insufferable than normal. Right.
David, I was just outside the room, and I was just telling you through my mind to prepare me a cake. Now, did you get that, David?
Yes.
I am that kind of god!
Okay, bye, Traxel, bye!
Stella Firma is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill Limited and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International license. It was created by Tim Meredith and Ben Meredith and produced by Katie Seaton with executive producer Alexander J. Newell. In today's episode, Imogen was played by Imogen Harris. David Seven was played by Ben Meredith. Traxel Geistman was played by Tim Meredith. The episode was edited by Maddie Searle and Alexander J. Newell, with music by Samuel D.F. Jones and artwork by Annika Kahn. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Discord server, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, join our Reddit community on r/RustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. May the board preserve and keep you.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Daria Leigh Dennison, Grace Ann, Alex Surname, Tegan McCreary, Kieran Coates, Shu, T.A., Fitzlet, Chris Sterling, Evan Cody, Mandy Huyn, Small Medium Problems, Big Carl, Babe Halberstadt, Azana, Nick Oliviero, Anne-Marie Windhorst, Say, Claire Martin, Brooke Griffith, Angela DeFrancis, Rebecca, Emrys, Steph, Emery L, Leia Addison, Brianna Gravero, Rim Saoud, Taryn Winnie, James Cunningham, Kaya Lewis Marlowe, Bex, James Ferber, Sammy Yuhas, Creatrix Anime, Hannah Francis, Anna Sparlin, Vasya Hilliard, Ashley Anderson. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.